guests at the Agape Apostolic Church. We welcome you today. Amen. And we pray to feel a part of the Agape family, where we serve one Lord, one faith, and one... Can we say one Lord?
One Lord.
One faith. And one baptism. And we just honor the Lord this afternoon for all of His goodness and for all of His mercy. Amen. We thank God that God is God. Amen. And that God knows the end from the beginning. And the things that are not yet done. And He said, my counsel shall stand. Whatever plans God has for any of our lives, they shall stand. Amen. Can y'all keep me in prayer? I don't know what. You know, I'd be fine if we have to come to church. I was fine all morning. Amen. And when it's time for me to come up here, I get some kind of an affliction. I don't claim sickness, but I guess when something lasts for a long time, that's called what? Sickness. So I don't claim it, but it can sure hold on. So can you keep me in prayer? But amen. But I thank God for those that prayed for us during my father's homegoing service. Amen. For God to strengthen us for traveling mercies. We don't take anything for granted, and we realize that what we accomplish and do is not because of our merit or our goodness, but it's because God is good. Amen. Because God is good. Amen. How many of people are still reaching out for our friends and family fundraising drive for the church? Amen. I set a goal that I'm going to reach 1,000 people. I'm up to about 400. Amen. I'm up to 400. Amen. Because I'm determined. Amen. And we've been blessed. St. John's, the church here, gave $100. Deacon Sandy gave $1,000. And Deacon Carney gave $250. Amen. And that's the church here. So we just bless it all for that. The Bible says, you have not because you... So can we just commit at least... So ask 10 people. And then ask them to ask somebody else. But Doug, my good friend that came here that was trying to get money from the his church organization, we went over and met with him last week, and he took like 20 letters. He said, you know what, I'll help you. So if you don't want to do it, get somebody to help you. Amen. We know we're gonna reach our goal of the $300,000. But all you have to do is ask. You never know who could be the ram in the bush. But like I said, I'm up to 300. I might be closer to 400. Amen. So if you don't do it, I heard somebody say, if you don't want a hint, don't want to praise, and don't. Amen. So let's just ask. You never know who will say yes. Amen. Let us send this time for our scripture reading. Let us stand for our scripture reading. And let's be mindful of the fact that we live in the Bible calls what are dangerous times. They're naturally dangerous, but more than the natural, they are spiritually dangerous. Amen. Because there are setups and more setups and things that are intended to divert our attention away from the main purpose and cause, and that is salvation. Amen. What the devil will do is he will use secondary things to overshadow the primary thing. Now, that doesn't mean the primary things aren't there, but they don't get the attention because the secondary things are now overshadowing them. Amen. Let us read from, we're going to just read three verses of scripture. Amen. That being verses 1 through 3 of Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Once again, I don't want to take it for granted. We thank God for my wife. Amen. And for being 63, sometimes, you know, some people have a nerve to insult me sometimes and ask me, how's your daughter? What in the world is this? How is my daughter? And so I was looking around and said, who are you talking about? They said, oh, her. Amen. I can't give out all her secrets. Well, she told me some things got to stay in, you know, between us. I was going somewhere trying to get somebody from a place. And the guy said, well, don't you come without your sidekick, that beautiful woman. I'm like, you know what? I know what I'm going to do from now. You just do all the fundraising. I don't get no props. Amen. We bless the Lord for her. We thank God for her. Amen. For God keeping and sustaining her. Amen. In spite of the diagnosis of the MS, God is still good. Amen. Verse 1 reads, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and glory. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs? Lord, we thank you this afternoon for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you that you're God. Lord, we thank you that you've called and ordained this ministry and the word. So, Lord, we do not trust in ourselves or our own abilities, but Lord, we lean upon thee. Father God, our trust is in thee. Lord, we wholly depend on your anointing. Father God, for without you we can't do nothing. Now, Lord, we ask you to anoint our words this afternoon. Lord, then bless us to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto the church. And all these blessings and favors we're going to claim, can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. Our thoughts are to come from this third verse. Amen. Our thoughts coming this afternoon from the third verse. And I really want us to get the message, because I'm concerned that I think many times our secondary situations overshadow our primary. Amen. The devil knows that if he can use the cares of his life to distract us, amen, he can make us, it doesn't say that we're not saved, but it makes us unfruitful. In other words, we're not doing for God what we can do because of the cares of this life. Well, the cares of this life are the secondary things that are overshadowing the primary. Amen. And the primary thing is that we ought to be saved, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, all up, got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for my life. Salvation is everything. I've been to several ongoing services recently, and we even had one here to church on Thursday. And the message that we use on Thursday, which I'd like for us all to consider, is whoever has departed from this life to eternity, if they could speak to you right now, what would they say? Right now, those that have departed, amen, and are no longer in this life, if they could speak to you at this very moment, what would they say? And our text that we used on Thursday was Lazarus and the rich man, they both died. Amen. And the Bible says that the rich man lifted up his eyes from hell and requested from Abraham that he would send Lazarus and dip the tip of his finger in water and touch his tongue. He said, because I am tormented. Now, the thing about this torment is eternity. There's never relief. Amen. There's never a let up. So he says, send him to dip his finger that he may touch my tongue because I'm tormented. And Abraham said, there's a great gulf. We cannot come to you, and you cannot come to us. Lazarus in paradise was just symbolic of heaven, and the rich man was in hell. He said, there's a great gulf. We cannot go to each other. Because at that time, paradise was still located in the earth, because before Jesus took captivity captive. After he finished preaching to all those spirits that were in prison down in the earth, when he rose, he took them with him. That's why if you read it in Matthew, it says, First Corinthians chapter 15, it is. It said, many of the dead saints got up and walked around the city. Why? Because the Lord took captivity captive. He took those that were once bound Amen. And when he was resurrected, he said he hung around long enough for them to walk around the city. Amen. So when he resurrected, he took paradise out of the earth. Amen. Remember the scripture say he was 3 days and three nights in the what? Heart of the earth. Then when he rose, he took it with him. Thank you, Jesus. But the rich man said, well, if he can't come to me, and if I'm in this position forever, then I have a remembrance. He said, I have five brethren that I don't want to come to this place. So he said, well, can you send Lazarus that he may testify? You know, he said, you know what? I don't want him to talk. I want him to give a testimony. Amen. About where he is. That he may testify to my brethren so that they don't come to this place of. At that time, if the rich man could have got to his brothers, what would he have said? You know, at my father's passing, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, we don't decide where anyone goes. How do you know? How many know that's up to God? Amen. We don't know who goes where. We can tell by their lives whether we believe they are, but only God knows, because in those moments, between time, going from time to eternity, we don't know who has made themselves right with God. But as I sat there and we were dealing with all the different family members and all, I said, what would my father say right now if he could come back and speak to me? Amen. Would he issue me the warning? He said, change your life. Change what you're doing. Change how you think. Amen. What would your best friend that has passed from time to eternity, what would they tell you now? Loved ones, what would they tell you? Amen. That's something to really consider and ponder. Amen. Because when we leave this life, and this is how the devil overshadows our primary purpose, which should be heaven, with secondary issues. When we leave, we're there in that state forever. There is no change. Amen. Verse 3 reads, from which we get our thought. He said, in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red. And he said, O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. And our subject this afternoon is, can you read the signs? Amen. Personally, can you read the signs? And the subtopic would be, do you know what time it is? Can you read the signs? And then, do you know what time it is? Everything in our lives are controlled or governed by signs. Naturally, everything. Now, just imagine, if we all of us travel, we go to the throughway stops. If there wasn't a sign that said men and women, there would be chaos. And some people still get mixed up with the signs. Amen. But signs govern our lives. Amen. When you're on the highway, 55. Amen. When you're on the streets, one way. Our lives are governed by signs, which means we are reading the natural signs. But my question today is, how many of us are reading the spiritual signs? Because God does this even more so in the spiritual than the natural. But unfortunately today, the natural signs have a tendency to overshadow the spiritual signs. We lose sight, hallelujah, of what God has called and the purpose in our lives. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 5? I'm going to take time with this because I want us to get on board. Amen. Because if we don't change some of our habits, and I'm not talking to anybody else before I talk to myself first. Amen. I'm not better than you. Amen. What I say unto one, Jesus said, I say unto. We need to change our habits, our priorities. What's the most important thing to you today? What's the most important thing? You know. Amen. What controls your thinking? What controls your thought pattern? Amen. We need to change our thinking. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Amen. I'm going to take time because I need for us to understand what time it is. We need to understand that heaven is closer now than when we first believed. Every day we live, we're getting closer to eternity. And sometimes we think we're going to be down here forever. But Paul tells the brethren, the Hebrew brethren, we're just strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, we're just passing through here. But that is an eternal home. Are we making preparations for our eternal home? Strangers and pilgrims. Verse 13 reads, Ephesians chapter 5. But all things that are reproved me they expose. There's nothing hidden. Are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is. In other words, when we walk in the light of God's word, it exposes. Amen. I didn't know. If you're in the word, in the light like you ought to, it exposes. Because you can hide nothing in light. The only way you can hide things is in darkness. Amen. So he said that the things the light has exposed. I bless the Lord every day that I see some light shining on my life. Because it gives me a mind to correct some errors. Some things that I thought were important that aren't so important anymore. Amen. So the light makes a difference. He said, wherefore awake, for he said, awake thou that. Who is he writing this message to? The church. The church of Ephesus. We're not reading the signs. The church of Ephesus did not know what time it was. So Paul tells them, even though you're alive and vibrant and moving, you are asleep. Well, what is the sleep? It's a spiritual sleep. Amen. This afternoon, if we search our ways, what's so great about God and salvation? It's an individual thing. And that's why the Bible says we have to work out our own salvation. It's an individual thing. We know, hallelujah, what things are taking priority in our lives. Amen. Can you imagine being in church when he said you still are asleep? Amen. You're asleep. Yes, you hear the word. Yes, you hear the truth. But you need to awake out of sleep. Amen. And rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Means walk according to the word of God. Circumspectly means watchful, alertness. Spiritual acuteness, spiritually keen. So we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Do you know what time it is? This is time, hallelujah. I don't need to examine you, but you need to examine yourselves. Spiritually, Lord, am I discerning the signs of the time? Redeeming the days for the redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Wherefore be not wise. When you understand what time it is, and you're waking out of sleep, you say it is not time to be unwise. Unwise means you're walking outside of the word of God. You're not walking according to the truth of his word. That is unwise. He said not to be unwise, but what?
Understanding.
That's how we can discern whether we are awake or asleep. Do you really understand what the will of the Lord is for your life? You know, sometimes it's so easy when we look at our own brothers and sisters to tell what God can do for them. But where are we at right now? Spiritually, do you know what time it is? How many know that none of us know when we're going to die? And the only responsibility that God gives us in death is not how we die, but it's not when we die, but what? How we die. It's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, that we understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. That we walk circumspectly. In other words, I am vigilant, I am alert, I am watching. Amen, because I know every time the adversary gets a chance, if I don't stay alert, he'll send something to trip me up. He'll send something to divert my attention. Hallelujah, and instead of me focusing on what God has called me to do, secondary issues will begin to dominate my life. Well, what are some of the indicators that secondary issues are dominating my life? I don't go to church like I ought to go to church. I don't read my Bible like I need to read the Bible. Somebody said, take it easy, Pastor. I got to tell you the truth. I don't pray like I used to pray. Amen. When I'm out, I don't let the world know that this time is short and that Jesus is on the way. Hallelujah. So these are now secondary issues that are taking the dominance in my life. I don't fast because of all the reasons I can make up not to fast. I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do the others. What excuse can we render the Lord when God knows the truth? So walking outside of the will of God is all of the spiritual things that we used to do. I don't do them. We don't show the love like we should. Amen. We don't care for one another. And as we went up on Friday, church sent people eating and devouring one another because we don't realize what time it is. Because we don't realize that time, we keep focusing on things that are insignificant when it comes to heaven and eternity. And then the most important thing is being able to say that as well my soul takes a back seat to everything else. We must be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. Right now, do you understand God's will for your life? Are you walking in wisdom? Are you walking in the light of the word, the truth? How are we walking today? Romans chapter 13. I'm not going to take a long time. I'm not going to get a lot of amens, but if I was listening, I wouldn't be saying amen either. Amen, because it's time to be real. The song we used to sing is what answer? Shall you render your soul to be spared? Your soul is that important. What answer will we render your soul to be spared? He's coming as a thief in the night. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to. Do we really love one another? Paul is telling, he said, you know what? Don't worry about all that secondary stuff. The only thing that we need to owe one another is to what? Love one another. Jesus said, by this shall no man know that ye are mine. Now we're going to stop here for a minute. You think about, how do you treat people? How do you treat your family, husbands and wives, children and parents? How do you all treat each other? The only thing that we owe each other is to what? Love one another. Amen. You know, we all have problems and situations that seems sometimes overbearing and overwhelming. But that does not excuse love. It's still our responsibility to love one another. Amen. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. It goes on through these. He said, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How do you treat the people around you? You know, and when the Lord gave this illustration to the disciples, they said, Lord, who is my neighbor? You know, he's trying to be kind of smart, Alex. And the Lord gave him the illustration of the Samaritan and also the priest and the rabbi. Your neighbor is whoever is in the vicinity at the time that you're there. That's your neighbor. It's not just in church. Love, it should be shed abroad in our hearts. By, if you got the Holy Ghost, you should have love. That love, yes, it goes through the mall, it goes through the shopping centers, it goes when you're driving. Love should be at all times. Your neighbor, who's whoever's in the vicinity of your presence at the time, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed. The what? Love that you have for one another, and especially your neighbor. Do you realize what's the devil's chief job? His main purpose is to cause division. So he will magnify little things so we have problems with our neighbors. Amen. Somebody say, well, I don't have no problem. Yes, you do. How does somebody come in your vicinity and you go the other way? Amen. You know, even I used to work too out in the secular job. I still work out in the secular job because I'm out there more than I'm in church. But I still have the responsibility to treat people right. Because the Bible says we are the living epistle, read and known of some men. Amen. I'm saved, I'm Holy Ghost filled, I'm fire baptized, I got Jesus on my side. People are reading your life. What does your life say? What are your actions saying? Amen. Because they are reading your life. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that our life should be a light unto men. So when they read your life, what are they getting? Do you realize what time it is? You know, I do a lot of things for a lot of people, even people that are in church. And you know, now this is me. Now I'm not being nosy and meddling anybody else's business. Can y'all say don't meddle? I gotta get y'all to help me out. Come on, y'all get some quiet. I'm about to duck down behind the podium here for a minute. Say don't meddle. You know, every time you do something for somebody, you don't have to get paid. I do stuff for people all over, everywhere. They say, what do you want? I say, just pray for me. Right. You know what? Because life is losing a lot of meaning. It's like, if I do something, I got to get something out of it. The only thing we owe each other and anybody else is to what? Love them. To be an example. To show them that when the Lord was on the earth, this is how he lived. Now we do have faults, yes, but we still have the responsibility of showing how we ought to live. Amen. So every time you do something for somebody, don't get paid. Amen. Even when I go out to a lot of places and if they call me to speak, I don't ask for a love offering. Amen. Because I count it a privilege. And Jesus gave this commandment. He said, freely ye have, and freely ye shall. So I just choose to believe God and the Bible. Love is an action word. Amen. I love you, but what does your action say? Amen. I love God, but what do your actions say? And if I tell my wife I love her, and I don't do anything good or kind for her,
somebody say, you don't do enough.
No, I'm not kidding. I say I love her if I don't ever do, but I want her to do everything for me. That's a messed up love. Because the Bible said, Jesus so loved the world. Well, how do we know he loved the world? No, God so loved the world. How do we know he loved the world? Because he what? Gave. The sign of love is giving. Amen. And not expecting to receive in return.
Amen.
Amen. If you're gainfully employed, that's one thing. Like I know I fixed probably, I don't know, about maybe 50, 60 furnaces for people recently. The last few years. Guess how much I got paid? Zero. You know why? Because first of all, I don't like the way these energy companies take advantage of people. But it's not my employment. So I do it as a help to somebody else. And even if they tried to make one person pay me, and when I left out the door, I threw it and jumped in the car and left. You know why? Because that's my purpose and my mission in life is not just caught up on secondary things. Some of us have forgotten what it is to do good and to show love. Amen? Listen, I'm going to go ahead and finish. Next verse reads. I only got two more sets of scripture. And that knowing...
Time.
Can we read this together? And that what?
Knowing.
Do you know what time it is? Do you know, hallelujah, that Jesus is on his way back? That any day now we can go from time to eternity. And that knowing the time it is, high time to do what? Knowing the time. It is now time to awake. I'll see why, because now is thy nearer than when you first believe. Do you understand the signs? Can you read the signs? Do you know what time it is? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then hold 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll finish there. Our challenge today is to be right before God. That's what counts more than anything else. Being right before God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 reads, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Knowing the what? Times and seasons. Not guessing the times and seasons, but what? Do you know what time it is? Do you know what's happening in the world? Amen. Do you know what's happening all around you today? Verse 2 read, for yourselves know perfectly. Now we're not guessing, we're doing what? Knowing. Do you know what time it is? Are you being sidetracked with secondary issues? Verse 2 says, Caleb, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a... Now, all of us know that Jesus is coming, amen? Can I get a wave offering? All right, if you all wake up a little bit, give me a wave offering. We all know Jesus is coming. We all know he's coming. It says he's coming as a thief in the night, but not to the church. Because we're reading the signs and we know what time it is. Amen. So those things that have been trying to divert our attention, amen, they got to take a back seat because we know what time it is. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Well, who is he talking about? Those who do not know what time it is. Those who are not reading the sign. But ye brethren. So who is he talking to?
Church.
The church. not the unsaved, not the world. He said, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a, because ye are the children of, and we read earlier, light exposes, light reveals. Ye are the children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us
not sleep.
It's time for the church to do what? Wake up. You can't change what you've done. My God, but you can change what you're going to do. You can't change the mistakes, the habits of the past. One of the biggest problems of making mistakes and failures is to repeat them. We cannot change it. You know, sometimes a lot of times, not in our church, but in those other churches, they like to bring people up, pass up a lot. Come on, y'all, please stop doing that. Y'all can smile. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about the other people. You know, all their faults, all their failures, all their mess up, you know, all those other people. It's like, man, why did they do that? You know, we don't do that in here. But a lot of times we like to bring up people's faults and failures and past. That doesn't change a thing. If I'm already messed up and you keep bringing up my past, why are you rewounding me? That's why they say Christians are the only ones that like to kill their wounded. I'm already messed up. I already know I made a mistake. I don't need you to rub my mistake in my past, in my face for my past. I'm trying to awake out of sleep. I know I messed up, hallelujah, but now I'm trying to get it right. But I don't need you to keep resurrecting my mess ups. I need you to show love. I need you to help me along the way. But you can't help me if you keep pointing fingers of accusation against me. Help me to get in Christ, because I know that as long as I'm in Christ, there is there now no condemnation to them that ain't Christ. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the that though that don't know what time it is, just keep staying in the flesh. Those that know what time it is, get in the spirit. Those that cannot read the signs, keep staying in the flesh. But those that can read the sign, get in the spirit. God is so good to us. He doesn't leave it to chance. But God helps pave the way so that we can decide where we are in God. What dominates us the most? Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? Therefore, let us awake. Let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch and be sober. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we will close here. It's time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we were. When you first got saved, it was all right. But the longer you're saved and walking with Jesus, you're getting closer to eternity. What are you making preparations for? James describes life on earth the best when he says our life is nothing more than a vapor. Our lives are nothing more than a vapor. They're here for a little while and then they are gone. That's here. But your real living does not start until you go from time to eternity. So the devil, hallelujah. Let me explain something to you. You know why the devil is trying to distract or discourage you? Because he has no chance to ever go to heaven. So since he can't go to heaven, he said, you know what? I got to do as much as I can to distract them. Because if they realize, if they can read the signs and they know what time it is, then I'm going to lose them. So what does he do? He turns up the heat. Yes, he does. He turns up the heat. Why? Because as long as he can get you focusing on the natural of the flesh, he'll have the advantage. So every time you think it's going to get a little better, it gets worse. When your purpose is to do the right thing, it gets even worse. God knows. God understands. And the scripture said, God is faithful. Whatever you're experiencing today, God will never put more on you than you're able to. All right, I'm going to finish here. Verse 1 reads, this know also that in the what? Last days, perilous or dangerous times. Do you know what time it is? What days are we living in? The last days. I heard somebody say the last days of the last days. We're living in the last days. The number one characteristic of the last days is that there is a spiritual danger. Perilous times. Verse 2. For men shall be. This is how we know if we know the times. Men will love themselves. Men will love money. Covetous means loving money, not focusing on the primary. Boasters, proud. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful means. Do you ever meet some people, not in here because we don't have that problem, but on the outside, some people are never grateful. No matter what you do for them, they can never tell you thank you. No matter what you do for them, they can never see the good. There's always a problem. Unthankful, no gratitude. Amen. Gratitude says thank you. Then it said they are unholy. Unholy means they're profane. No matter what you can do, whatever you say or do for them, it's never right. No matter what you say or do to them, they always get the flesh involved and never God and the spirit. That is called unholy. Amen. A word can say something, they can say so little in word, but by the time that little has come out, you feel as though somebody has thrown you through a butcher machine. That is called unholy. That is a sign of the last days. If you watch the news, you know people are butchers. People are unconcerned and uncaring. Can you read the signs? And do you know what time it is? Without natural. You know what God said? You know what? Homosexuality is going to be a problem, so he pointed out way back then. This is signs of what? Last time. They don't even follow the natural course of life. Without natural affection, truce breakers. Yes, truce breakers. So what truce? Well, we make an agreement. This means that people refuse to reconcile differences. Amen. Something that happened way back in 1942. See, y'all know I ain't talking about it. Are they wonderful? Who in here was born in 1942? All right? No, all right. Truth breakers mean they can't just reconcile differences. Amen. Just let that thing linger. Won't get it right. Amen. You know, we cannot control what other people do, but my God, you have the responsibility for what you do. Truth breakers. Don't ever want to get, you know what? Life is too short for me to have a bunch of mess going on. There are a lot of times I would let people tell me I'm wrong just to be at peace. Because I heard Jesus say on the Mount of Beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. Then I heard Paul tell the Hebrew church, follow peace with all men. Now, a lot of people like to do that holiness without which no man can see the Lord. Yeah, but if you got a lot of mess going on in your life, you don't make peace, you still won't see the Lord. They go together. That conjunction and ties the peace in with the holiness. Can I get an amen? Amen. y'all talk to each other. I'm almost finished. But my God, all these grudges and gripes and stuff that's been going on, kill it. Do you know? Can you read? Forget it. Let it go. Because all that does is keep you in bondage. You say, that person's a hypocrite. They always smile. They know what they did to me. No, they're all right. You got the problem. How do they have your joy in their back pocket? So I said, I'll be so happy till I see. Get over it. Truth breakers. Irreconcilable differences. It's time for us to reconcile. That's why we are ambassadors of Christ, because we have received the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I know this ain't going to be popular, but all this holding on to all these grudges and mess, forget about it. Let it go. If you hold on to that, I can assure you, you don't know what time it is. And if you're holding on to that past, about all their past and their failures and their mistakes, the Bible is very clear. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So man, every time I turn around, people are bringing up my past. What are you doing? Hello? Y'all gonna help me? Every time I turn around, they talk about this. What do you do? How do you act? Truth breakers. Can the church get some peace? If nobody in the whole world can get along, the church should be able to get along with everybody in the church. Amen? If you got a problem with somebody, get it right. Because Jesus said, if you do not forgive men there, hey, so man, you're going through a whole lot of stuff, yeah, because we need to know what time it is. And we need to be right. Amen. So I know somebody said, y'all want somebody to preach? I got a minister, Simon, Elder Tinsley, Elder Mackey, Elder Gibbs, Minister A.G. up here. But I got to be led right now. Because the devil is making mincemeats of the saints. Because they lost their spiritual focus. Everything but God. Yes, I'm still on truth breakers. Let's get some stuff right. Husband and wives, get it right. If you read the rest of Ephesians chapter 5, it goes on and says that for the woman to honor the husband and how the husband has to love the wife the way Christ loved the church. That's part of what? Awaken out of sleep. Can I get an amen? Yes, that's all a part of it. We have to love the wife the way Christ loved the church. And then the wife has to honor the husband as the church honors Christ. That's all a part of awaking out of sleep. Well, you don't know what they did. Yes, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. You got to forgive. As long as you bring it enough, you haven't forgiven. And then you wonder why do I have a situation existing in my life? Because your Father, Heavenly Father, won't forgive you unless you learn to forgive. Can we all say forgive?
Yeah.
All right, I know y'all said that's a hard word. It ain't a hard word. You want to go to heaven, you got to learn to forgive. Can we say forgive?
Yeah.
I hear everybody. That's all right. But do you know what time it is? Can you read the signs? Do you realize that heaven is closer every day that we live? We're getting closer to heaven. So can we, those irreconcilable things, let's reconcile. Amen. Purpose in your heart, there will be nothing between me and the Savior. A lot of times we say that, but then you got some people between you and the Savior because you have not forgiven them. Amen. No matter how bad it is, we must learn to forgive. Incontinent. Fierce, just mean they're just brutal. They don't care about anybody. Despise of those that are traitors, heady, high-minded. Now we're dealing with what? Reading the signs and knowing what? Time it is. We're reading the signs. And we're knowing what time it is. If I went out there and I was going north on First Street, I would be going what? If I'm going, if you see me, everybody would see me going on that street would say, that person did not read. When we look at some of our lives, are people going the wrong direction? And we say, we know they did not read the signs because they don't know what time it is. Lovers of pleasures. Lovers of pleasures. Lovers of pleasures more than, he didn't say he loved pleasure. He said the problem is it's the wrong priorities. We all have to relax, but we can't relax more than we do for God. Amen? All right, okay, I'm gonna finish up. I'm not gonna string y'all along much longer. Go to the next verse. Having a you look sane, you walk sane, you talk sane, but you only have the form. You only have the shape. You only have the outward appearance. But when I look at your inner man, when I look at your soul, when I look into your heart, it's not lining up with the Word of God. It's not lining up with the Scripture. You're not walking circumspectly. You're not walking seeking to know the will of God, but you're walking according to your own mind and your own pleasure. So you only have a form of godliness, but in essence you are. Let me sum the scripture up for you in real simple terms. He said, my problem is too big. I can't let God fix it, so I gotta help myself. Denying the power thereof. You won't let God fix it. You won't let God work on it. You say, I gotta fix it myself. And the Bible said that if you be somebody like that, from such to what? Let us stand. Can you read the signs this afternoon? And do you know what time it is? As the ministers, the elders, and the altar team comes forward, today is all about salvation. When we leave this afternoon, the most important question that we should answer is, am I saved? And on my way to heaven. If you're not saved, you obviously are not reading the signs. And you don't know what time it is. And you become a lover of secondary issues. But the primary thing, which is heaven, has taken a back seat. Our focus is on everything but God. Brothers and sisters, saints and friends, let's realize the time. Let's get on overtime, triple overtime, not for money, because that's going to perish with the user. Let's get on triple overtime, quadruple overtime, to show God that I want to be counted worthy for salvation in heaven. May heaven become our primary focus. May pleasing God become the primary focus. And in closing, we've all known someone that's passed from time to eternity at this moment. At this very moment, what would they say to you? What warning would they issue you if they didn't make it to heaven? If they made it to heaven, would they want to encourage you to continue to do the right thing? The Bible says that God is the judge of all the earth. And what I love the most about God, God told Abraham, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. If you got some messed up stuff in your life, it's not God, because he will do right. Then it's time for us to search and try our ways and turning in unto the Lord, ministering in.